of service when you came in. I hope you grabbed an order of service. If you don't, there's a little white booklet in the book bag in front of you. We're on Lord's Day 36 in the Heidelberg Catechism. We're going to read just these two question and answers. If you allow me, I will read both questions and answers tonight. Question and answer 99 and 100, Lord's Day 36. Question 99, what is God's will for us in the third commandment? And the answer is that we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. In a word, it requires that we use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe, so that we may properly confess him, pray to him, and praise him in everything that we do and say. And question 100. Is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God is angry also with those who do not do all they can to help prevent it and forbid it? And the answer given is yes, indeed. No sin is greater. No sin makes God more angry than blaspheming his name. That is why he commanded the death penalty for it. God's name stands for his character. His name describes for us who he is and what he's like. And that's why misusing the name of God and blaspheming God's name is such a serious sin. And Pastor Quinton, I trust, is going to expound that more tonight. Come on, Pastor Quinton.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Good evening, everyone. Good to be back today at the conclusion of the Lord's Day. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. This evening, as we consider the third commandment, I wanted to look with you at just a brief passage, actually. And even then, just at the first part of this one verse. But in order to set the context, to get the flow of thinking, I want to begin reading with you Colossians 3, starting at verse 1, and then we'll read through verse 17. This is a great chapter for us as Christians to meditate upon, as it calls us and teaches us how we ought to live. Paul writes to the church in Colossae, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And now our verse for this evening. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Will you join me as we pray? Our Father, this evening, as we look to your word, we pray that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear. Soften our hearts, that your word would be planted deep within us, that it would spring up and bear a great crop, that we as your people would truly bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, bringing glory and honor to your name, that we also might win our neighbor over to Christ. Father, we pray that all of the use of your name in our lives might bring you glory. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In the early 1990s, Bryan Adams released his hit, a huge hit, Everything I Do For You. Maybe you remember this song, maybe you've already started singing it in your heads. This was made even more popular because it was in the movie Robin Hood. And so it became part of my adolescent youth. Consider this refrain from this song. You know it's true. Everything I do it for you. Now, this song, it's a power ballad, right? It's an emotional, charged song from one lover to another. Speaking of his devotion, that he would lie for her, he would walk the wire for her, he would die for her. This is a striking level of commitment from one person to another, isn't it? Everything I do it for you. Now, I use this song, you probably know already where I'm going. But I use this for us to think about tonight. Is that the mindset? Is that the attitude that we have as we think about our Christian life? As we think about our willingness, or perhaps our unwillingness, to live this way, to do everything that we do for the Lord. Can you say that about your life? Everything I do it for you. If one human can sing such a song to another, how much more ought we to have this mindset for the one who gave his life for us? Who with his precious blood purchased our lives for eternity. Well, you might be thinking, what does this have to do with the third commandment, Pastor Quentin? And I'd say everything. It has everything to do with the third commandment. Because often I think when we think about the third commandment, we have a very narrow focus. And we kind of like that because then we can check things off our list, right? Well, all I have to do is keep from using the name of the Lord, just not use it improperly from the words in my mouth. But the book of Leviticus, already in the Old Testament, teaches us that actually this third commandment has a much broader perspective. Again and again through Leviticus, you see how the third commandment is brought to bear on civic and religious aspects of Israel's life. And even as Pastor Mark read these questions tonight from the Catechism, perhaps you began to see the same is true in the New Testament. That is more than just how we use or misuse the name of the Lord. But that bound up with that is our behavior, our attitudes, our actions, our words. You catch this at the second part of this first question. In a word, it requires that we use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe, so that we may properly confess him, pray to him, and praise him in everything we say, in everything we do and say. So obviously, this is where I'm camping out tonight. If we're to properly use the name of the Lord, it is bound up then with everything we do and say. And this is where Colossians 3:17 really drives us to think about that tonight. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Again, I ask, can you say this? Is this your life verse? Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Tonight I've titled the sermon, The Name in Everything, to help us think about how all of our actions, everything we do and say, does bear on this fulfillment of this third commandment, that we desire to honor the name of the Lord. Tonight, as we look at this, especially considering the third commandment in relation to Colossians 3, I just have 2 points, if I can even call them that tonight. First, a quick recap. We're going to just skim through the chapter here, just to put things in perspective. And then I want to have you see this comprehensive call. So again, first, a quick recap, and then secondly, a comprehensive call. First, then, a quick recap. Maybe growing up, you knew one of those families where the children were all wild. Probably all of us knew a family like that. The kids were out of control, and you would see maybe one of them flying down the street or acting out or doing something, and you're like, well, that's how that family acts. We all know that's what they do. They're wild. And so their behavior becomes synonymous with their name. That family is known for that kind of behavior. Well, just the opposite way, the family of God who bears the name of Christ the Lord, our behavior should become synonymous with his name and with his character. If we bear the name of Christ, if we're called Christians, then how we behave, how we live, how we speak bears on his name. If our character is out of line with his character or betrays his name, we're doing nothing less than misusing the name of the Lord. Have you ever thought about it like this? You see how then broader this category is. Well, let's skim through this quick recap. If you look at this passage, and maybe just skim back a little bit, broaden your perspective even here, turn back to Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. This is really where this section begins. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, we read this. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And then drop down to verse 17 of our passage. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In some ways, these two verses form kind of a bookend on each end of this longer passage. And it helps us put it in perspective. As we see the repetition of certain words here, that we receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so we're to do everything in the name of Jesus the Lord, giving thanks. But now let's zero in a little bit closer. As we read through this, maybe you saw these sections kind of jump off the page. In chapter 3, we open and we see there's a new identity for Christians. We've been raised with Christ, and we're called to seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, to set our minds on those things, because we've died with him and our life is hidden with him. Paul's saying the newness of life for a Christian is so transformative because we have a new identity. And we now bear that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives are hid with his, even as our life is bound up in him. But then Paul moves on. If that's the case, what's your response? Negatively, it's to put off, to put to death, to get rid of the character, the behavior that characterized the unbeliever. From verses 5 through 11, you see that. Put to death whatever's earthly in you. And it lists these things out. Put them off. Put them all away. And you see this call by Paul to put these things, the character that no longer belongs to a Christian, to be done with that way of living. But then he moves on and says, in contrast, as you put those things off, so you must also put on the characteristic of Christ himself. Verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And you see, this goes on, the character of Christ Jesus himself. The Christian's character, behavior, attitudes ought to be in line with Christ the Lord. As he acted and lived, so ought we. Even as we let his word dwell in us richly. As you see, this obviously is focused on especially the relationship of brothers and sisters in Christ in the church. And then finally we get to verse 17, which is in a sense a summary. And we'll look at that just in a moment. Having done this kind of quick recap, it brings a question to all of us tonight. So who are you? Is your life hidden with Christ? Is your name bound up with his name? And if so, does your life exhibit the character of Christ the Lord? Remember that story, those boys who acted a certain way and their behavior is synonymous with their name, their family name? Well, so now we think about this again for Christians. If we've been raised with Christ, if we've been called to put off the old and put on the new, is your life synonymous with the name of the Lord? Or do you bear that name in such a way that brings disrepute, dishonor, or perhaps we could say even blasphemes his name? When you say you're a Christian, but you live contrary to Christ's own character. Such an action really is a misuse of the name of the Lord. Or, in genuine thanksgiving, is your response one of gratitude and thus leads to honor and praise of the one whose name you bear? Well, that's our quick recap, putting this verse that we're going to be looking at in perspective. Now let's look at this comprehensive call. Again, as we think about bearing Christ's name and the third commandment, what kind of person are you? Are you a thinker? A doer? A talker? Whatever kind of person you are, all of this comes under the purview of this third commandment. And as we see in this comprehensive call in verse 17, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord. Again, as we think about this, I want you to see this connection. We're called in every aspect of our lives to place our words, our deeds, our actions and attitudes in subjection to Christ the Lord. And there's this obvious connection then to this third commandment. Do not misuse the name of the Lord. Right now, Jesus holds that name. He bears that name, Lord. And so are our lives subject to, submitted to him. Well, what's the problem as we think about this in our lives? Oftentimes, we want to live for ourselves. At the very least, we want to carve out some aspect of our lives that's just ours. Maybe very just like casually, in everyday life examples, we have what? That's my chair, right? I come home, you're sitting in my chair. Well, we do the same thing, right, in our spiritual lives. Well, these are my thoughts. This is my section of my life that I don't want to give over to God. I don't want to have his sovereignty weigh in on this aspect of my life. This is mine. We're tempted to do that, to carve out some aspect of who we are, to say, no, I'm Lord of that, rather than letting Jesus be Lord of that. Or maybe we prefer just a list of things. Again, lists are manageable, right? Whether it's on your phone or you handwrite them, you go to the store and what do? You check off the list. Yep, got that. That's in the cart. Done that for today. And by the end, you can feel really good about yourself. Sometimes we approach the Christian life and maybe even the Ten Commandments that way. Check mark. Done. Finished with that one. But as we come to this verse in Colossians 3:17, we hear this comprehensive call that all that we are, all that we think, say, and do comes under the realm of Christ's reign. And if we bear his name, then we must subject every aspect of who we are to him. There's not a lot of these verses in the New Testament that are this comprehensive. And that's for good reason. But think about the ones that are comprehensive for a moment. Again, this one, Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Or maybe Romans 12. After, again, laying out the gospel, the response can be summarized in this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Your whole life is to be a life of worship to the Lord. Again, this comprehensive aspect of Christian discipleship. Or maybe one more, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I ask again, is this the way you live? Again, going back to Brian Adams' song, everything I do it for you. I'm not really commending this song, but it's a catchy phrase, and it's a really helpful way to think about this. Are we heeding what Paul calls us to here? Whatever we do in word or deed. What aspect of your life tonight have you withheld? Have you kept back? Have you tried to cordon off from the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ? What words do you use? What attitudes? What actions? What time? You see, this comprehensiveness covers everything of who we are in this life. Not one single aspect of it escapes. Whatever you do. When it says in word and deed, it's not saying, well, your thoughts are your own or your time is your own. No, it's whatever, every aspect of your life, subjected, submitted to the Lord God. Done in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's think about that for a minute. This is kind of a very Old Testament kind of language, right? Whatever you do in the word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. I think I read something like 6,000 times the name Lord is used in the Old Testament. 6,000 times. And then in the New Testament, it becomes very clear that this Lord is Jesus Christ, the one to whom the name above all names is given. And so if we're called in this passage to live, to act, to talk, to do everything in the name of the Lord, what does that mean? How do your actions, your thoughts measure up? Do they reflect his character, his godliness, his righteousness, his love for the Father? And maybe again, as we bring this into connection with the third commandment, thinking about whose name it is you bear. You were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you bear his name, if you profess his name, then you're called tonight to live in accordance with his character. Otherwise, you are, in fact, misusing his name, blaspheming his name, because your own character doesn't then measure up to his name, which you bear. We either bring disrepute upon his name, or we bring him glory. Do you see the weight of this? We're told that this third commandment is so lofty, so weighty, that in fact in the Old Testament, according to the civil law, the death penalty was reserved for those who misused it. Now again, that's civil law for Old Testament in Israel. It's not going to apply to us today in that manner. But we feel the weight of that. In the last couple weeks, we've considered who God is as the one true God. We've considered how he is to be worshiped. And tonight, we consider his name, how it is to be honored, how it is to be revered, not to blaspheme it, not to misuse it. So as we think about our lives tonight, as Christians, we have a high calling so that all of our actions, our speech, our deeds do in fact bring him glory and not dishonor. That when you say, yes, I'm a Christian, and people see how you live, it testifies to that and it brings God's name, praise, and glory. Again, you see how this first question and answer ends, that we may properly confess him, pray to him, and praise him in everything we do and say. What does this look like on a day-to-day basis? Have you ever been in a place where you're pondering if something is an appropriate action or behavior for a Christian? And you ask yourself, is this something that I can do? Boys and girls, is this a behavior that's acceptable for a Christian? Ask yourself, can I do this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a great litmus test. Again, the New Testament doesn't provide us endless lists that we can check off, right? Because as mature Christians, we're given broad categories that we might, with wisdom and understanding, know the will of our God and Father. And that with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts, know what pleases him and act then accordingly. He's revealed his character, his love, his mercy, and so we're called to conform to that by the work of the Spirit in our lives. But we're reminded at the very end of this chapter, this section, that we don't do this to accomplish our salvation, But in fact, all of this is out of thanksgiving. As I read even earlier from Colossians 2, 6, and 7, we're reminded that that also is acted out in thanksgiving. And so here, as we conclude this section, we see that we are called again to give thanks to God the Father through Christ. We give thanks because we've been given so much. We've been delivered from wrath, from the penalty of our own sins. And we desire then to live lives that bring honor and glory to his majestic name. In a number of weeks, we'll be looking at the Lord's Prayer. And remember the first petition? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. This third commandment and the first petition of the Lord's Prayer really come together in this regard as we seek to honor, to praise, to magnify the name of the Lord. And we do that largely not just by what we confess we believe, but also how we live. You see how comprehensive this call is in your life. Today, what areas do you need to consider? At work? At home? In the car? At the table? In private? So that you can honestly come before the Lord and say, everything I do, or better even yet, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And this should be our joy, should it not? Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. This is not a burden for us to say, oh, what a heavy weight you've placed upon us. But in the end of the day, this should be our joy. Kind of like this power ballad, right? He'll do anything for this one whom he loves. Again, how much more than as Christians who have been loved so deeply to then respond with such deep love. To know that Christ, who gave himself for our sins, delivered us. And so we take great joy and delight in obeying his commands, to bring glory and honor to his name, to live our lives in all things for him. Is that your prayer tonight? That at the end of the day, you can come before the Lord in that time of prayer and say, Lord, it is my desire to live my life for you, so that in my life, your name would never be blasphemed, but always praised and honored in everything that I do. Oh, that we would all seek and strive to live this way for our Lord and for our God, even as we give him thanks for all that we have, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, tonight we ask that you would bless your people. Bless us with obedient hearts, hearts so filled with love for Christ, because we recognize the love with which we have been loved. And then knowing that Christ, who loved us perfectly, fulfilled all of your commandments, and that his righteousness then is ours by faith, that we too then in response, in love and thanksgiving, desire earnestly to obey all your commandments. And that as we seek to live out this new life that's ours in Christ, as our life is truly bound up with his, that we would seek in all things, all our days, to do everything for you. We pray that our words, our deeds, our actions, our attitudes would bring you glory and honor, and that they would testify to the name that we bear as Christians, the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, keep us from doing those things which are sinful, that would bring disrepute to your name, that would malign or marginalize your name in this world. Father, help us, we pray, to examine our lives closely, to ask for your help by your Spirit, to strengthen us, to instruct us by your word, that we would be, as we read in this passage, be so filled with your word as we dwell on it, that we would be shaped by it, and that we would bring glory in all that we say and all that we do to your most holy name. We pray this in Christ's precious name. Amen.